morning. So we are here this morning and we're going to be talking with Keith. He is a migrant living in the United States, and today we're going to be talking with him about his migration story. Keith migrated as a child to the United States of America from Jamaica, which is one of the most popular Caribbean islands. Like almost everybody in this world should be aware of Jamaica. And he will be sharing his story on migration matters and his experience and what it's been like for him. So we're going to be joining Keith with connecting with Keith right now. Thank you so much for joining me right here on Yumi Radio. I'm Coach Raquel, and we are talking migration story, migration matters. Check the facts before you travel, before you migrate, before you move from your place of your country of birth to another country. It's a great experience. It has its positives and its negatives. So it's important for you to understand the facts, understand the circumstances, understand the potential advantages and disadvantages, so that when you do decide to migrate, when you decide to, if you decide to, that you are doing it from an informed place and space, so you are aware of what the possibilities are. Just because before we start with Keith's story, just to share with you, the World Migration Report 2020 has been launched. It was launched on November 27. In other news from the IOM desk, that's the International Organization for Migration, in other news from their news desk, apparently yesterday at least 58 migrants died after the boat they were in capsized near the coast of Mauritania. These are important information to note. So on the November 27th, the 2019 IOM Council meeting by the IOM's Director General, Antonio Vitorino, the latest edition of this flagship publication on World Migration Report 2020 continues the organization's commitment to providing information on migration that is well-researched, rigorous, and accessible. I hope I read that correctly. I didn't feel like I read it properly in my head. So here's a quote from the director. IOM has an obligation to demystify the complexity and diversity of the human mobility. And that is such an important work to do. So as this report shows, he continues, we have a continuously growing and improving body of data and information that can help us make better sense of the basic features of migration in increasingly uncertain times. And the publication was first published 20 years ago. This is the 10th edition. And it's something that persons really value. It's been downloaded over 400,000 times. The 2018 issue was downloaded over 400 times. So this is a topical issue. It's an issue that affects quite a bit of people. So hi, Keith. Thank you for joining us this morning on Yumi Radio.
Good morning. Good morning. Good to be here. Good morning, Coach Raquel.
Wonderful. Thank you. How is your morning so far? What's the weather like where you are? I know it's Christmas. You're in New York, so it's cold.
The weather here is a bit brisk. It's not as cold as it was yesterday, so I'm thankful for that. Right. But
that's lovely.
You better dress warm, otherwise you're gonna feel it.
Covered,
and you know those areas where are vulnerable, you gotta get them covered so you won't get sick. But I'm glad to be up and ready to go. I'm excited.
Thank you. If I understand correctly, you're on your way to work, right? You're driving?
Yes, ma'am. I'm driving.
Okay, fantastic.
Yeah.
We're going to be here for about 10 to 15 minutes, thereabout, just so that persons know for how long this will be going on. So you migrated to the U.S., or your parents and family migrated to the U.S. back when you were a child, correct?
Yes, they dragged me kick and screaming. Actually, no.
I think I'm hearing an echo. I'm hearing an echo. Okay, is it on speaker?
Let me try to resolve the echo.
Right.
Let me resolve the echo in just a second. I'm so sorry about that.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Yes, I will do that.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting. As you're figuring it out, it's interesting because kids don't really get to choose sometimes. And when you look at deportation issues, sometimes it's the kids who've grown up who didn't have a choice that then face challenges of citizenship and, you know, where they should be or shouldn't be in deportation and challenges like those, when sometimes they didn't really have a say in what happened.
Yes.
So this migration thing is important.
Yes. It is better?
Yeah. Yes. So much better. Thank you so much. Thank
you're
you.
Welcome.
Thank
you're
you. Welcome. Yes. So you were saying you were taken, kicking and screaming.
Yes. It wasn't my idea. I'm looking back. I'm not sorry now, but I remember I was 14 going on 15.
Right.
And you know, it's funny because before I came here, I'd known a lot about Jamaica, you know, the 14 parishes. You learn about, you know, Marcus Garvey, you know, Al Sharpton. You heard about Nanny. You know, you kind of got ingrained into the culture. You heard about Blue Mountain.
Al Sharpton is in the U.S. still.
Well, yeah, there you go. You know, yeah. I need some of these great leaders, George Foreman. So the culture, the reggae, Bob Marley, how he influenced our culture. And some of these great entertainers. I learned about the opposing PNP and JLP, and sometimes you see where they have the conflicts in the neighborhood.
So that was before you left. I think we lost you, Keith. Hello? I think we lost Keith. He was just sharing with us his what it was like for him before migration. And the information he had at the time, his exposure at the time. Keith, are you there? I think we lost you. Let's see if we can get Keith back on the line. Okay, let's give Keith a call and see if we can get him back on the line. If you're listening on this call and you're a migrant and you'd like to share your story, let us know. Send us an I'm going to drop the email in the chat so you can email us. We lost you, Keith.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Please. Thank you. Okay. If you'd like to share your migration story right now, you can call in. Just press the call button. If you'd like to share it some other time, you can also let us know. I'm going to share the email with you so you can, if you wish to. Okay, so Keith is back in. He just entered studio. Please give us a call, Keith, so we can continue our conversation. Awesome. Here we go. Awesome. So you were. Can you hear me, Keith?
I can hear you loud and clear.
Okay, wonderful. So I think where we stopped off, we got cut up, disconnected, was where you were sharing your knowledge of your exposure in Jamaica at the time, what you knew at the time. You were very aware of Jamaica at the time. I have a question for you. How did your parents break the news to you that the family was moving and the new realities that would come with that?
For me, it was very interesting because it wasn't clear to me that we're going to the United States. What I knew that there was going to be some movement,
mm-hmm.
but when my entire family, I would say when some of my siblings came here, some of us stayed back because, you know, it's seven of us. And so we had five who came here first. And my twin and myself stayed back in Jamaica, and we actually stayed in Clarendon for about 3-4 years before we came here. And the brother that I follow, he was in school in Jamaica. He went to, I think, one of the agricultural school back home. So three of us stayed back, and the others came here. So there was movements.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't come to the United States initially with the entire family. I guess that was some last minute complications of why it happened. Not sure why until this day, but I think that's what happened. But all in all, you know, we came around 83, 84, and that's when I got here.
Around 1983, 84.
Uh-huh.
Okay. What were your parents' hopes for you?
My dad, I would say he's a visionary, because he was doing very well back home. He had farming and lots of it, you know, from animals, crops, and I would always see him hiring people and paying people. So he was doing pretty, pretty good. But he did farm work for a number of years. Because I remember missing my dad. I went there, you know, he was gone for a while. And so I did, during the, I think, maybe a 7-year period, he traveled. And I guess he saw what was here. He saw the potential of what it could be like for his kids to come here and grasp the opportunity and grab the opportunities that was here in the States. So he sacrificed, you know, his love for farming and what his own vision for his life, for his kids. And I thought it was that was phenomenal, you know, as a dad. I can't thank him enough for that. So that was something that was awesome.
May I ask why you said that? You can't thank him enough for that.
You know, because sometimes
dire,
you know,
situations where you were.
Actually, the reason why I thank him, because he made a sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that he didn't have to do. I did love Jamaica as a kid. I enjoyed where I was. I wasn't in any hardship at the time, as far as, you know, realizing. Because sometimes you can be in certain situation, but you don't. It seems normal to you. You know, it doesn't seem like you're lacking anything. And I think I really wasn't lacking anything. I mean, I had love in my family, but you know, when I look at the fact that that he loved this thing so much, and was doing so well. He could have said, okay, I want the guys to be farmers too, like me. You know, because many kids follow their parents. And many kids and many parents kind of almost like coerce their kids and kind of, you know, get the kids to come into what they're doing. When I think sometimes it's not the best thing to do. But he saw something for us. So he sacrificed his own vision for us. And that's why I said I appreciate what he did.
I understand. What were some of the challenges you faced after migrating to the United States?
Yeah, it's funny because I wrote a book, not published yet. Hopefully, it'll be published soon.
Tell us about it.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead. Tell us about it.
Yeah, and a big part of that book was based out of the culture shock I felt when I came here. Because, you know, in Jamaica, you know, we have the uniforms, we are aligned, you know, we have to be in time, we all dress alike, you know, there's a certain way that we know life to be as a kid. Very structured, very community oriented. You had many dads, many aunts we didn't know, you know, and many grandmas, and you know, you felt like you're very well surrounded, almost to the point of cluster, you know. Was like, it's not fair. I only have one dad. Why are you talking to me like, well, you know? But when I came here and I went to high school, I was like, what? These are grown-up kids. Because the thing that they were doing, I thought was only for adults. Like, you know, the way they dressed, there was this way of self-expression, and everyone did what they wanted to do, their own hairstyle, the colors, the whole fancy thing. I'm like, what is this? You know? So, you know, I had to kind of really become acclimated into the culture. I mean, of course, during the process, I did get a lot of embarrassments, you know, from the way I would speak, the words I would use that wasn't quite the American so-called standard, you know, and just trying to learn and trying to transition into the culture. I had a bunch of embarrassing moments. But looking back now, I took it as fun, you know. I take it as fun, and it's a part of my experience, which I thought was very rich. Yeah.
Okay. What advice would you give a parent who was thinking of migrating with their child now? What advice would you give?
You know, it's interesting. It's a very interesting question. But if I would give a child now, I would suggest that, or if someone would give advice to the kid, I would let them know the importance of where they're coming from. I would also let them know the importance of reaching back to that, stay connected with that land or that country. Because too many times we see another country as, oh, a better land, a better place. And so we start despising where we are almost subconsciously, you know? And really, you know, it's to our detriment. And I think that's why even now, many people, they leave Jamaica, to be specific, or their place of birth, and as they migrate somewhere else, they don't stay connected with that place, and so they feel like a stranger. And when they go back, sometimes they feel like strangers, like because you really have not connected with where you're from and the people there, and so you wonder why sometimes when people do get old and they start to retire, and have this nice house or whatever it is back to where they're of their birth, they find that a lot of times they feel like strangers, and oftentimes they're treated like strangers, you know. So I would caution parents to tell kids, listen, you want to stay as connected to your land as possible, to your people as possible, and rebuild and try to maintain a connection even while you're away, you know, whether it's into charity, through some kind of a community support. And I think that will make a difference with those child kids coming up and passing that on to their own kids.
Wow. What was the most difficult part about leaving for you?
Well, for me, it really didn't feel difficult because at the time I wasn't with my family, and so I'd miss my family. And I had some very interesting experience. Many I didn't like. Many was very tough, hard, you know, from just dealing with school and dealing with, I guess, not feeling supported, you know. Mm-hmm. And so I was kind of waiting, longing to go. Wherever it was, I was going to go at some point. Even though I was thankful for what the life I had and the support I had, but I missed my family so much that I was just waiting to leave, you know. At least at that last 6 months when I was told I'm going to America. And, you know, you kind of, you know, I was a little older, so I understood more about America and the kind of thing.
Okay.
So I was anticipating this trip.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
How do you feel as an immigrant living in America now? Do you feel like a migrant? Do you feel like a citizen? Do you feel like a visitor? Do you feel like, how do you feel? Do you feel like you belong?
Wow. You know, it's funny because America tends to let you know that you're not from here in many ways. And in fact, even the Black America sometimes, which is to me scary because, you know, you look at another Black man, of course, that's another great divide. Well, you have then the Africans, then you have the Black Americans, then you have the Caribbeans, but then you have, you know, each different individual feeling superior to the other, which to me, I can't even understand that. So there's a sense of superiority among the Black Americans, and of course we feel superior in many ways. I mean, we didn't go through that slavery stuff as you know, I would say as bad as they did. As far as what I understand, and we didn't have that early battle because slavery recently it wasn't long ago we had slavery very heavily here in the States, you know, particularly in the South. So it's not that long, you know. We talk about segregation, we talk about you know, with Martin Luther King. It's not that long ago, so mm-hmm. it's still very fresh in the American mind. But I think that for me, I look at the world from a spiritual eye, not only from a physical standpoint, because as a believer, you know, God creates the world. He gives us the earth, and he's the one who blesses us and moves us when he wants to move us for a particular reason. I think now I'm finding out more that my purpose is what's important. So what I'm here for a season, for a long term, is how can I fulfill that purpose? And again, of course, at the moment, there's a project that my family is heavily involved in, reaching back to a community in Jamaica. It's called Dwanvale. And we are doing, it's a charitable fund, and we are trying to impact the community. Of course, with the help of great folks in Jamaica, like Coach Raquel and her fund that she has, and so forth, we are combining, I believe it's Go Inspired Jamaica fund. It's an awesome fund, and I think there's a lot of great things going on there where we're trying to impact the community with resources and education and so forth, technology. So a legacy that my father, I think, had left, and as a son, I want to hopefully impact that carried on and impact lives.
Okay, thank you. My final question for you is, I don't know if you're aware of some of the challenges or some of the topical issues in the media now about migration. A lot is happening with migration, especially the U.S.-Mexico border. And not just there, but around the world, there's a lot of issues and challenges. Like when I opened this session, this conversation, I spoke about the 58 persons, migrants dead. And that's just yesterday. What are some of the challenges that you have experienced or heard of other persons who you may know experienced with regards to migration?
Migration, it's a very complex, it's a complex issue. I think many people come here and they don't, I would say, they don't get to understand the nature of where they are. A lot of times they abuse the privilege that they have. Because, you know, many people can say a lot of negatives about America, but, you know, if you travel the world, a lot of places it's really tough. You know, there's a sense of opportunity that I think a lot of people, if they would embrace those things, and we have realized that, and not live in that victim mindset, not have that victim mindset, I mean, the sky's the limit. You think about even blacks here and how they impact the economy with their spending. You know, they know how to redirect some of their resources. You hear about how $1 trillion or $1 billion go through different ethnicity, whether it's the Jewish community or whether it's the Caucasian community, and how it goes 6-7 times before it leaves. Circulates in the community before it leaves. Well, blacks, I think it's a couple of hours maybe, and then it's gone. So it's a lot of issue with how we are maximizing a place like America. So I think too many times there's not a sense of, I would say, let me find a way to not hold my identity in place, but respect the land and respect what needs to be done to maximize the land, you know, and still be able to reach back and help your fellow brothers and sisters. I think that is where it's just a big gaping hole.
Well said. Is there anything you'd like to share before you go that I haven't asked?
Well, you know what? It's morning. I'm alive. I'm awake. I'm glad to be here. I'm glad to be on this live show here. And thanks for the invitation, Coach Raquel. I'm excited. I think that the future is bright. It's a lot of things that we can look at as potential. I want to just kind of encourage those migrants that look for purpose. Sometimes wherever you are, you may be going through distress or hard time, and you might be saying, if I can only get there, if I can only get here, I'll be fine. But realize that at the end of the day, you have what it takes within you to make change, effect change where you are. And sometimes the change starts there. Many people have come here and they've actually run back. They've come here and that service me. Why did I come? So it's not about where you are going to be, where you are now, and what are you going to do? And you want to find purpose. I recommend people anywhere over the world, and I've tried it, that anything, coaching is a very important thing to look for purpose. Coaching is a great thing, place to start if you want to look for, you know, define where you want to go, where you are, and a hope for you want to go. Coach Raquel, for me, is an example of someone who's where she is. She loves the country. She enjoys the country. And she's living an awesome life. And that's a blessing of God, of course, but a desire to find purpose and impact people wherever they are.
Awesome. Thank you so much for joining us today on Migration Matters. Check the facts. I hope that as you spoke and shared your story, that it inspired someone else, gave someone else some tips that on what they can do. Migration is a topical issue. It will continue to be a topical issue. There's some people who migrate and it works out for them. And then there are other persons who migrate and the challenges are far greater. Thank you so much, Keith. Keith is living in New York. And he's a successful businessman. And I didn't even ask you to tell us a little about yourself. Please close by telling us a little about yourself. You're number one on Geek Masters, yes?
Entertainment network. So you know, I do my little thing on the weekends, my weddings, anniversaries, my social events. Yeah. I do a little singing. I do writing. I'm hooked to a studio where we do that's about everything.
Pop, so tell us about your studio. Reggae. Style Records Studio in New York.
Yeah, right. Style Records.
A musician for your wedding, I'm a saxophonist. He's on Big Masters. What else? What else you want to plug?
Oh man, I tell you, I'm just, if you go to Sound of Success .biz. You can discover me there. Sound SOUND OFSUCCESS .biz. You should get a good idea of the things that I'm connected with and so forth.
Wonderful. And,
reach out to me and we can make it happen.
Awesome. Thank you guys. Thank you everyone who joined this morning for being here. I hope it was very informative for you. Thank you so much for joining me on You Me Radio at youmeradio.com. That's the letter U, MERADIO.com. Goodbye. Have a great day.
Bye. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.